for being here today. My name is Pastor Jeff Lamont. This is my wonderful wife, Tracy.
Hey,
you may
morning.
Be seated, by the way. We're going to receive a non-traditional offering. We don't do it the way we used to right now. There's some buckets at the door, but also an opportunity to give online. Very easy, and the instructions are right there on the slide in front of you. And we not only give a tithe to meet the needs of the church, but this is a radically generous body of believers who believe in making a difference beyond ourselves by reaching out and partnering with ministries and missionaries all over the world. In fact, over 20-some wonderful missionaries and ministries that we give to on a monthly basis and give very generously, by the way. And we have two representatives
yes.
from one of those wonderful ministries that we partner with here locally. And we're excited to introduce them to you. You know one of them very well. She's a part of this church, and that is Amanda Stanley. And she has a friend with her named Celeste Eagle. Come on up, Amanda. You introduce Celeste this time, okay? Amanda just got an incredible job there as the head nurse at Beside You for Life, which is a wonderful ministry you're going to hear about this morning. Welcome, Amanda, and come on up, Celeste. And
good morning.
Come on back here, honey.
So in June, I got a phone call, and it kind of blew me out of the water, okay? So I was just so humbled, and I am humbled every single day that I get to go in. But they asked if I would come and be their new nurse manager at Beside You for Life. And in that role, I oversee the other nurses in the pregnancy center and policies and procedures, and we provide STI testing and treatment. I'm able to perform ultrasounds and pregnancy tests. And, I'm so humbled that the Lord wants to use me, okay? And we need more hands, okay? And just when you're thinking, Lord, I have nothing to give, I want you to pray. Mm. Okay, because he wants to use you in some way, in some fashion, to meet his people. Pray about coming and helping us at the Beside You for Life.
Amen.
Here's Celeste.
I thank you, first of all, for your support of our ministry already. We take very seriously when churches want to partner with us, either financially or with volunteers. So thank you. Like your pastor just and Amanda just introduced, Beside You for Life is a pregnancy and life skills resource center that is devoted to speaking the gospel in word and embodying the gospel in deed to women and families who are facing unplanned pregnancy. Just not very far from here, 25 minutes downtown Louisville. And for some of you who've lived in Louisville for a long time, you may have known us by A Woman's Choice or Nicole's Place. And those two ministries have come together to become Beside You for Life. And our desire at Beside You is to live up to our name. We want to walk beside women for life for as long as they'll allow us or need us to. And our priority is to make sure that we're carrying out a very holistic vision of pro-life ministry. And that means not forsaking the unborn baby, the parents, the siblings, or the surrounding circumstances. So we do that through the two prongs of our ministry, the Pregnancy Center and the Life Skills Center. Now, the Pregnancy Center is where we seek to educate women facing unplanned pregnancies. We seek to respond to their physical and spiritual needs and, of course, advocate for the protection of the lives of their unborn children. We offer pregnancy testing, ultrasounds, things like that. And we also offer, for those who have already been impacted by the loss and trauma of abortion, we offer post-abortion counseling services to help put men and women on the path to healing. And a quick personal word that I always like to say when I'm speaking to groups is that when I say that phrase, those who have already been impacted by the loss and trauma of abortion, if in your heart you know that's you, whether it was 30 days ago or 30 years ago, there is hope and healing available in the gospel for you. Studies tell us that 4 in 10 women identify as churchgoers at the time of their abortion, and yet they'll probably never say anything to anyone in their church about it. So just know that Jesus's hands of forgiveness still reach out to you, and we at Beside You, and I'm sure your leaders here at church would consider it an honor to walk with you through that journey. In addition to the pregnancy center services, that second wing of our ministry is what really sets us apart. It's our life skills ministry. And it's located just two floors above the pregnancy center. It's where we seek to help train mothers and children to then live godly and productive lives out in society. We offer classes ranging from financial readiness and nutrition and fitness to stress and anger management and Bible study classes, all while providing childcare at no cost to mom. In fact, all of the services I've mentioned so far are at no cost to our clients and their families. So that's the what that we do. But in terms of the why, in 2017, which is the most recent year we have reliable data for, there were 862,320 known abortions performed in the United States, and 3,200 of those were performed just about 20 minutes from here at a place that is very deceptively just simply named EMW Women's Surgical Center. That was the only abortion-performing facility in the state of Kentucky until this past January, when the Planned Parenthood downtown also acquired their license to perform abortions. So now we have two in the state, and they're both less than 25 minutes from here. Now, I'm going to say that statistic another way that is a bit more sobering, but I think it personalizes it a bit. 3,200 innocent children, not much older than the child in my womb that, Lord willing, will be giving birth to in just a few weeks, not much younger than the grandchild or the child in your home. Those children were violently and legally put to death. Do you want to know the number one and two reasons that we hear for why men and women continue walking into that clinic day after day? It's fear and it's loneliness. No one is going to be there for me. I don't have a support system. There's nobody that I can turn to. I have no one. And I know that's heavy to hear on a Sunday morning, and yet it's the truth, and it's happening in our city and in so many cities across the country. So we at Beside You for Life see ourselves as a parachurch ministry. We're not the church, but we are a ministry that desires to come alongside and serve and support the mission of the local church in terms of making disciples. Sometimes just because of the tools we have, we can reach places that the church isn't always reaching out to. And so, but like Amanda said, I'll be honest with you, we need help. We need people from the local church who want to come alongside us. And part of my role at Beside You is helping people get plugged in to serving and volunteering. And we have opportunities ranging from children's ministry to counseling, from landscaping to driving our mobile RV unit. So if you want to serve, I can probably find a place for you. So the last thing I'll leave you with is our website is where you can get more information and find the application to volunteer. It's just besideyou.org, like up on the screen. And then my personal email address, in case you want to talk with me personally, is my first name, which is Celeste, Celeste@besideyou.org. So thank you for giving me a few minutes.
Thank you. Let's thank Celeste and Amanda.
Thank you.
That's a tremendous opportunity. We definitely want to be involved, and I think our academy also here wants to be involved, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So we're excited about that. All right, well, let's pray over our offering. Father, bless our offering, our tithes as we give today. Bless the gift and the giver. And Lord, use it, Father, for your glory to touch many hearts and lives for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, tell us what's getting ready to happen with our youth, honey.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we're excited. We're going to have a fun time. Saturday, September the 19th, 4 o'clock, we're going to meet at Malibu Jack's. But also, we're meeting Sunday mornings at 11:15.
Yep.
And also Wednesday night, we have small group discussion table for just for our youth.
I got to leave that.
So I know you really enjoyed yourself too the other day.
It was a great time.
It was fun.
Good young people. So small groups have began back on the back wall. There's at least 12 groups back there. There's a yellow sheet as you leave. If you haven't seen all the offerings on our small groups, you need to check those out. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a moment. And Wednesday night, we had a great gathering here. It's and we're distancing and keeping everybody safe. We are having a meal, but we're doing that in a very safe way. We really, really strongly want to encourage you to come out. About half the people I thought would be out were out, but it was a good night.
It was really
good.
And
you're teaching this Wednesday night on being overwhelmed.
I'm teaching on being overwhelmed. What do you do when you're feeling overwhelmed?
Yeah, that's going to be good. Come on out and be a part of that. Mm-hmm. You need community. I guarantee you that you do. And Revelation Seminar next Saturday with my dear friend, Dr. David Thomas. He's got a PhD in New Testament studies, and he did his doctoral dissertation on the book of Revelation. You're going to absolutely want to check this out. Dave is a brilliant scholar and student of the Word, and some people have said, I don't know if I want to come to that. It sounds scary. So let me tell you, it's not going to be scary. No. It's going to be helpful. Mm-hmm. It's going to be very helpful, and I want to encourage you to be here. We need you to sign up our RSVP, okay, because we're providing lunch, and we'll provide childcare if you need it, too. So please let us know, and we'd love to have you.
It's going to be good.
Amen. Hey, I thought I'd throw in something fun, hon, just real quick before you go.
All right.
So check this out. This is a church sign. I want to be like Saul. I want to be on the road to demask us.
Yes.
Amen? Can anybody say amen to that? Thank you, baby. All right, well, I have kind of set a trend here, and some of our young people, they'll call me on it if I don't do it, but kind of set a trend of telling a few jokes before the sermon, so I kind of got to keep with it. And today I just got some quick pithy ones, some little pithy ones, right? So what's gray and lights up? Anybody know what's gray and lights up? An elephant, when you tell them they're beautiful, of course. An elephant, when you tell them they're beautiful. Hey, what do you call a dog with no legs? Anybody know? Anybody know what you call a dog with no legs? Doesn't really matter. He's not going to come anyway. Here's a good one. A little courtesy laughter is always helpful. Listen, you're going to have to think about this one, okay? Give this one a little bit of thought. What do you call a snobbish criminal walking down the stairs? What do you call a snobbish criminal walking down the stairs? A condescending. Okay, anyway, and lastly, where do you find a turtle with no legs? Right where you left him, of course. All right, well, this morning, amen and amen. This is one of the tough things of pastoring in this era. You know, we go to two services to help us distance a little more, and we hit mask mandates, and some people that we're coming or not coming, and it's just a challenging time. We feel like we're pastoring two churches. Welcome, by the way, those who are joining us online. We're really, really happy to have you. This morning, I want to bring a message that's just passionate on my heart today, entitled, Don't Go It Alone. Don't Go It Alone. And this is something that, man, I feel this really strongly in my heart and my spirit. I've been feeling it for weeks upon weeks, and I finally feel like I need to bring it to you, and I hope you can hear it this morning as love and care from a pastor, from a pastor's heart, a person that cares about you, that thinks of you often. When we went into this whole quarantine scenario months ago now, the whole term social distancing disturbs me. It disturbs me, not because I don't believe there's necessity in having some distance and putting in appropriate health protocols. I believe in that, okay? But the term itself implies a degree of isolation. We need socialization. We may have to have some physical distance, but if we socially distance to the place that we cut off our lifeline of people who are there to encourage us and walk with us and do life with us, we're going to find ourselves incredibly vulnerable. How many of you hear what I'm saying? A better term may have been physical distancing. That we want to encourage physical distancing, not social distancing. Do you get the difference that I'm trying to make there? Because I want to say to you this morning, relationships keep you safe. Relationships help you keep healthy. They help you keep encouraged. They help you keep hopeful. And honestly, they keep you alive. You and I were designed by God Himself, the creator of this universe, to be in relationship. It's so vitally important. So is it any wonder that as you look at the news, as I look at the news, if you pay any attention at all the bad stuff is going up dramatically. Do you realize that? All the bad stuff is just going off the charts. And honestly, I couldn't even find up-to-date statistics, but listen to a few of these things. American Association of Medical Colleges. This is from July 27th of this year. During the pandemic, Dr. Jerry Moeller, MD, has seen a 1,000% increase in overdose cases in his emergency department. 1,000% increase. Dr. Charles Reznikoff, MD, at the University of Minnesota, the associate director of the medical school there, notes that people have been overdosing increasingly been overdosing alone. I want you to notice that word alone. No one around them to call 911. No one to administer the opioid overdose antidote. Drug overdose deaths have increased more than 11% in the first 4 months of 2020. So far, alcohol sales have risen by more than 25%. A recent analysis of 500,000 drug tests by a national laboratory service showed worrisome trends, an increase of 32% for non-prescribed fentanyl. I don't know if you know anything about fentanyl, but that's a killer. 20% for methamphetamines, 10% for cocaine from mid-March through May. And suspected drug overdoses climbed at least 18% in the same period. The question that's been asked oftentimes along the way, well, will the cure be worse than the cause? Will isolation and disconnection kill and damage more people than potentially the virus? It's possible. It's going to be incredibly hard to determine because the effects of isolation could have really long-term negative consequences that will be hard to determine, honestly. Addiction is growing at an unprecedented rate, and addictions don't suddenly disappear when a vaccine comes onto the scene. Addictions last long-term and often take people's lives. So this past week, we started small groups. And I can just tell you this, message is going to be an unashamed plug for small groups because small groups are really about relationship. And relationships at the heart of Christianity, relationships at the heart of God. And I wondered how things would go this past week because everything's been different in this season. Everything, it's hard to predict. And I'm deeply concerned as a pastor that there are going to be those few or however many that quite honestly in this era of quarantine are going to drift away from the church and lose the vital life-giving relationships that they absolutely need to thrive in this life. How many of you hear my passion this morning? I want to make sure we're doing what we have to do, need to do, should do to keep people healthy. But part of that health is helping people to understand they need each other. They need each other. So, this morning, I want to take a little bit of time. Like I said, everything that is bad is up. It's up. Suicides are up. Drug overdoses are up. Depression is up. Anxiety is up. You name it. Addiction is just spiraling out of control. Why? Because people are feeling alone. People are feeling frightened. And people are feeling in despair. I mentioned several weeks ago a new term, COVID brain. Some of you have not heard it. But COVID brain basically means we're getting to the place mentally, it's hard for us to endure any longer because the human body and our biology, we were not set up to be under this level of stress for such a long-term time. And it does affect us. It absolutely affects us. People are feeling frightened. They're in despair. We need each other. It's the relationships, folks, and that's why I want to really encourage you to get in a small group. Relationships matter so much. They're a safety net for our souls. So I'm going to ask you this morning, would you let your guard down? Would you lean in a little bit, please? Would you consider with me the importance of relationships today? Listen to this statistic. It's going to knock some of your socks off. And my kids love it when I use old sayings like that. Dad, where'd you get that? Knock their socks off. What's that even mean? Listen to this. 40% of all Americans in a recent survey say they are close to no one. 40% of all Americans in a recent survey, folks, say they are close to no other person. Now, let me just tell you that the first problem in the Bible was not sin, it was solitude. The devil doesn't even show up in the book of Genesis until chapter 3. But there's already been a concern highlighted by God himself when all of creation had taken place and Adam was naming the animals and all these things were happening. God said, it's not good for man to be alone. That ought to stand out to us, kind of like a neon light flashing in the dark. Not good to be alone. God says it in Genesis 2:18. The Lord God said, it's not good for the man to be alone. First thing the Bible addresses is not our sin, but our solitude. Last week I shared the verse, and this one's been heavy on my heart in this season. I've told you, I don't know if we're in the end days, but we're certainly knocking on the door if we're not there. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. And I highlighted to you last week that not just a few, but the love of most. This ought to absolutely grip our souls and concern us. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And let me just say, how do you stand firm to the end in a day and a time like this? And part of the answer is absolutely community and our deep-seated need for each other and community, because God created us that way. Look at what Solomon says, the wisest man alive who was given this incredible wisdom from God himself. And he kind of goes astray, gets off the path. He has 3,000 concubines and wives, the Bible tells us. One student in seminary, he was so befuddled by this fact, he said, ask his professor, sir, why did Solomon have so many wives? Why did Solomon have so many wives? And the professor kind of shot back, well, you know, it was in hopes that at least one of them would be in a good mood when he got home from work. Just kidding. But speaking of himself, Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 4, forgive me, ladies, there was a man all alone. In fact, Solomon's speaking of his own self. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. He's speaking of himself. Wealth doesn't do it. We are made for something deeper than just our possessions and our materialisms and materialism and having security in the things we possess. We need relationships. I want us this morning to look at Jesus and one of his final discussions with his disciples. It's the final Passover meal where lots is unpacked there for us that we need to really grasp and grapple with. And I'm so thankful for John's gospel. John covers this really well. In fact, there's about 6 chapters of John dedicated to this last week of Jesus' life, where the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, synoptic kind of meaning they're very similar in nature, tell a fairly similar story. But John, he highlights some things that you and I absolutely need to see and grapple with. In John chapter 13, there's this powerful scene where Jesus does something really unexpected. And I want to kind of shed a new light on it for you this morning, perhaps. Maybe make you think about it just in a little different light. He washes their feet. Now, I'm not going to ask you how many of you have ever been at a foot washing. I've actually been at many, many, many. Every time I lead a mission trip to Nicaragua or other places in the world and have a team that I'm leading, one of the first things that we do is we wash each other's feet. And Jesus did it to the disciples, and he did it to set an example of how they were to minister and live and share their lives and make a difference. And it's powerful, and I want you to think beyond the physical act of just washing the feet. In John 13:8, Peter, seeing Jesus having washed one of the disciples' feet, says, no, Jesus, you shall never wash my feet. And it's an interesting moment with Jesus and Peter here, and there's something deeper that I want to kind of unpack. I think in some ways what Peter's wrestling with here is Peter's saying, Jesus, I don't know if I'm comfortable with you going that deep or that intimate with me. I don't know if I'm really okay with you seeing the cracks and smelling the odors and encountering the dirt. I don't know, Jesus, if I'm totally comfortable with being that vulnerable. In all honesty, it kind of makes me uncomfortable that you, my Lord, would do this to me and for me. And I'm not really sure that I want you to look at that part of my life that carries the rest of my life. In that day and time, much like the third world countries that I often travel to for missionary reasons, the streets were dirt. The common shoe was a sandal, an open-toed sandal. Oftentimes the very sewage is running through the streets. It's very difficult to keep your feet from getting incredibly caked and dirty. But there's something more than just that physical act. There's something closer. Jesus has lived with these guys for 3.5 years. He's done life with them. They've seen each other in every kind of setting and circumstance you can imagine. They've cried together. They've laughed together. They've mourned together. They've rejoiced together. They've done life. And Jesus responds back to Peter in 13:8. He says, unless I wash you, Peter, unless I wash you, unless you let me into that uncomfortable place, unless you'll become more vulnerable, unless you will allow me to come into that those places and open those hidden parts, you don't have any part in me, Peter. I mean, there's something really powerful and very personal that I think Jesus is driving at here. I mean, Jesus makes this. Read that verse. Unless I wash you, you have no part of me. He makes this really important, folks. He's not just talking about a physical act. And folks, I believe we need to go there. Peter needs to go there. No hidden parts. Openness. Honesty. Transparency. Authenticity. Peter, you got to be real. You're going to have to open up those places to me, those hidden places in your life. You're going to have to let me heal you. Listen, God can't heal an unconfessed wound or weakness. You've got to open up to him. You've got to allow him in. And this morning, I want to follow that story and make a few points to you today. I need people, you need people who will care for us. In this season especially, listen, one of my great hopes in this whole thing that we've walked through with this pandemic is that the church would wake up and never, never, never take for granted the privilege and honor of gathering together. How many of you hear me? May we never take that for granted. And yet I look around and I go, I can't believe it. I think some people are just drifting. They're not remembering the importance of community. And God designed it this way. He really did. In John 13, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes, returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? I've set an example for you. I've done life with you. We've been through thick and thin together. We've been open and real with one another. I've set an example for you. This is the way I want you to minister. This is the way I want you to live. It's a shallow disciple, quite honestly, who just says, well, you just wash my feet. No, it's more than that. I've set an example that you would care for others the way I care for you, that you'd be willing to go there with others the way I've gone there with you into the uncomfortable places. And listen, church, this, I'm convinced, is how we survive a pandemic and difficult days ahead, whatever they may hold, is that we truly care for each other the way the body of Christ is supposed to care for each other. How many of you can say amen to that? You guys are not amen as good as I'm preaching. I'm going to come around here and just give myself an amen. Amen, Pastor Jeff. Amen. Ecclesiastes 4:9-10, it says, it's better to have a partner than go it alone. Listen, I'm telling you today, folks, please, please, please hear my heart as a pastor. Don't go it alone. Share the work, share the wealth, and if one falls down, the other helps. But if there's no one, it's tough, folks. Romans 12, 15, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. 1 Corinthians 12, 26, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. We're supposed to be together as a body of Christ, doing life together, showing forth a love that is unmistakable that the world even notices. I'm going to encourage you in this term of small groups, lean into your group leaders, lean into your discussion table leaders, make them informed of your needs, whatever they are. Listen, our small groups, that's our first line of pastoral care, even if you're doing it online. Make sure you're sharing your needs with one another, praying for one another. I've seen amazing things happen in the context of small groups. Number two, I need people who will encourage me. You know, just a you can do it makes an incredible difference at times. A word, the Bible says a word aptly spoken. It's like a tray with a silver apple on it. I mean, it's like a gift from God. It can absolutely lift your spirits. We're going to make it through. We're going to church, but we need each other. If we drift away from the core of relationship, it's going to be very difficult. But together, praying for one another, doing all those one another's of the New Testament, bearing one another's burdens, encouraging one another, standing together, we can make it together. And listen, I want you to know I'm here for you. Tracy and I are here for you. This church is here for you. Small group leaders are here for you. John 14, 1, Jesus, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust in me. To encourage means to lift the spirits of another person. When you're around somebody who has the gift of encouragement, believe me, you feel like you could go out and take on the biggest, baddest bear with a switch. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it just changes everything because they will speak life to your spirit. We need that. We need it daily. Listen to this scripture, Hebrews 13 or 3:13. Encourage one another daily. Everybody say daily. You need it every day. I need it every day. As long as it's called today. Listen, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Do you see the importance of encouragement right there? We've got to find ways to reach out, to connect, to be there for people. Listen, I would encourage you, exchange phone numbers with people here in the congregation and regularly check on one another. Send cards, send texts, do whatever you can. Call and encourage. Listen, when you call somebody up and they say, I'm having a bad day, say back to them, not anymore, because I'm here for you. I'm going to lift your spirit right now, and I'm praying for you. And listen, when you do, it'll change things. It will change things. Number three, I need people who will partner with me. It's one of the things I love, love, love about the church. I'm so thankful for Amanda and her friend today sharing with us about the need there and beside you for life. One of the things that we as a church have really sought to do is find ministries that we could support, that we could ultimately connect with, so that we can not only give money, but we can also bring service. We can connect, we can get out and make a difference, and we're excited. We just started our high school program this past week, and we've got Go Mad Fridays, Go Make a Difference, and we're going to have our young people involved in outreach in the city. I want to see our church more involved in outreach, and this whole quarantine has kind of taken a lot of that off the plate, but it's still the mission of God. We can't lose sight of His heart to reach and touch and help people. Just because we're trying to keep ourselves safe or keep someone else safe, we've got to realize there's ways around this that we can love and encourage and reach and touch people. Let's link arms together and do something we can't do alone. Amen? Together we can make a massive difference. John 15, Jesus talks about remaining in Him, and He in you. And apart from Him, you can do nothing. Listen, we need Jesus and we need each other. And God designed it that way. And in all honesty, we're better together than we are alone. Ecclesiastes 4:9, two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. Look at Ephesians 2:10, really something interesting here that's popped out to me I hadn't seen before. For we are God's workmanship, not I. This isn't just a singular thing. It's not just about me, but we're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Can you just think with me about that? Wouldn't it be awesome? Here's one of the things I'd love to just fan the flame on. Organic opportunities just popping up in our midst. Somebody saying, you know what? I've got an idea. Why don't we go out and reach people like this? And getting two or three others here in the congregation. Yeah, I'll go along. I'll support. I'll be a part of that. Hey, I got an idea over here. Maybe we can make a difference like this. Yeah, okay, I'll go with you and I'll be a part of that. And just fanning the flame on doing projects of serving and loving and reaching people together. Together, man, we can make such a difference. Let's not lose sight of that. We need each other. Amen? Well, I keep getting behind on my slide. Sorry about that. Number four, I need people who will protect me. I need people who will protect me. John 16, Jesus says, all this I've told you so you'll not go astray. So you'll not go astray. I'm deeply burdened about people growing cold in this season. I'm deeply burdened by it. I'm praying about it. I'm thinking about you. I want to find ways to encourage you. Believe me. And listen, I need it too. I've got blind spots just like you have blind spots. Anybody, some of you may have a car new enough that you've experienced this or you experience it every day. But I've rented a car here recently and it had this interesting gadgets on it. They're basically blind spot detectors. On the mirror or on the right on the inside of your and on either side, there's a light that lights up if a car comes into your blind spot. First, I didn't even know what it was or what it was for. And suddenly I began to realize, well, look at that. And there was a car that's going right past me. And I thought to myself, boy, if I'd merged over, bam, there would have been a crash. And then one went over here. There was a car rolled right past me. Passed me in the non-passing lane. I thought, boy, I'm glad I didn't merge over to the slow lane. I would have had a crash. And then I had a rental car, I had it set on cruise control, cruising down the highway, and all of a sudden I'm going, I'm not going near as fast as I thought I was going. What's happening? And it's got some kind of sensor. If there's a car in front of you, it'll slow down for you. So it keeps an even distance with the car in front of you. Some of you got cars just like this, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. But you know what? We don't have that kind of equipment. But God has designed it where we can have that kind of helpful assistance along the way. It's called each other. It's called the body of Christ. It's called community. It's called don't go it alone. Listen, you can be in my life and you can say, Pastor Jeff, I kind of see a little blind spot there in all love. Can I speak some truth to you? Absolutely, please do. Please don't let me crash inadvertently, unknowingly, into a car coming on the slow side of me that I didn't even realize was there. I don't want to go down in a crash. Call out my blind spots. Help each other see those blind spots. It's why we so desperately need each other. You know what often prevents us from that? Pride. We need each other. We are better together. We can protect each other. We can do this for one another. Ecclesiastes 4:12. Man, I love this one. Look at it. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Man, I love that. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. I think of that scene in the movie Gladiator. I love that movie where Russell Crowe and he's Maximus and he's out there in that arena and man, the gates are about to open and they don't know what's coming through those gates. And he says to all these motley crew of, you know, guys that are going to be mowed down. That's what everybody in the stands are thinking. He says, we've got a lot better chance of surviving if we stick together. And he starts teaching them, you know, to make this circle, this impenetrable circle. And these crazy things start coming out of the gates. And they start wiping them out one by one. And the crowd is absolutely, you know, taken back by this. What a picture. What a picture of the body of Christ, that we stand together. We stand with each other. We watch each other's backs. We don't let the enemy drag us down. We don't let the enemy drag us off. Small groups, they're a safety net for our soul. We watch over each other's souls. John Wesley, I have the privilege. He's one of my spiritual heroes. We share a birthday, and I love the story of John Wesley, and I love how he changed the world of his day and time. And the world we live in has still some of the impact of his life. And one time I had the privilege of standing behind his traveling pulpit. It was such an honor. He changed the world from behind that pulpit. And one of the things that John Wesley did, don't think of the Wesley, the Methodist Church today, but think of his heart. He was a man spiritually on fire. He would say, God, set me on fire and let people come and watch me burn. And he started with these, they were called holy clubs. Holy clubs, and they really, it was maybe the first iteration of small groups, okay? Maybe it's the first iteration of them, and you get together in small groups on a weekly basis with other believers, and you'd ask the hard questions. And I've got a few listed out for you here today. These are questions we ought to be asking, or somebody ought to be asking us on a regular basis if we're going to guard each other's souls. Have you been in a compromising situation this week? Have any of your financial dealings lacked integrity? Have you viewed any sexually explicit material? Have you spent quality time in Bible study and prayer this week? Have you given priority time to your family? Have you fulfilled the mandates of your calling? And then lastly, I love this one. Have you just lied to me? Come on, be truthful. Don't lie or you fry. You know, I'm just kidding. Ask one another the hard questions. And lastly, I close with this. I need people who will pray for me. I need people who will pray for me. In John chapter 17, Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. He tells those disciples, would you watch and pray? And we know the story. They fall asleep. But in John 17, Jesus prays this. He says, he looked toward heaven. He said, I pray for them. The disciples that were supposed to be praying for him, they're asleep, and he's praying for them. And he says, I'm not praying for the world, but I'm praying for those you've given me. And I want you to get this, folks, okay? This is so powerful. Here's essentially, I think, what Jesus is saying and what Jesus is doing in this situation. He knows that if his disciples are covered in prayer, if his disciples are blessed, if his disciples are lifted up before the Lord, if his disciples become what they're supposed to be in God, then they'll in turn bless the world. He doesn't need to pray for the world. He prays for the disciples. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. Because when you're blessed, when you're doing what God's called you to do, listen, you'll make a difference in your world. You'll make a difference in your neighborhood. You'll make a difference in your school. Ephesians 6:18, in this day and time, we keep talking about what are essentials. Listen, Paul said it long ago. We better never forget it. Prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long and pray for your sisters and your brothers. And lastly, I just say to you, share prayer requests. Share them weekly. Text them to one another. Call one another. Cover each other in prayer. We absolutely need it. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes with me this morning? Lord, in this day and time, God, it's sure a unique time we're living in. And Lord, would you just remind us in your gentle, loving ways, just how much we really do need each other. You designed it that way, God. There is no getting around it. If we isolate ourselves, we become very vulnerable to the enemy. We really need each other. We need each other speaking into our lives. Your word says that's like iron sharpening iron. We need to be accountable. We need to be encouraged. We need to be cared for. We so desperately need it. God, help us not to lose sight of that. And help us to live that out for your glory. in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Can you give the Lord praise this morning? Would you stand with me today, please? Stand with me. Lord, go with us and let our lives count for you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for coming. Have a great week.